Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2 of the Almani Guys podcast. We are recording this on October 28th. It's about 9:18 right now. And my name is Kirk, and I'm joined by Chow. What's going on, Chow?
Hey everyone, doing pretty good.
All right, I'm also joined by Spencer, the return of Spencer.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Spence, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Took a break.
You missed out on a good show.
Yeah, it was
good. I did.
Tom filled in. Of course, he wouldn't like this show as much because, you know, he's not in it, so bad reviews. All right, we got a pretty packed show today. We're going to try to keep it under 30 minutes, as always.
Sure.
We're going to talk about some weather news, some pop culture stuff. We got some space shuttle stuff, and that's just in the first half. Some movie stuff, or TV shows, actually. Some tech
Reviews.
Talk for the end.
Yeah. Apple.
Apple, Windows, Samsung, or Google. The trifecta, if you will.
Yeah, no one else matters, right?
It's the big three.
RIM, guys. I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah, of course. Forgot about that. I used to have BlackBerry. I can't hate on them. I used to have them.
All right, let's get to it. All right, so what is going on with Hurricane Sandy, guys?
Ooh, big news, right?
So last I heard, they actually canceled the Google, the Playground, whatever thing up in New York.
Yeah, the Nexus 10 event?
Yeah, they canceled that due to Hurricane Sandy. I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, like, it's affecting a lot of things. It's affecting a lot of the elections stuff. It's affecting just travel plans in general. It's affecting what most of the northeast, right? Like Boston.
Yeah, I was looking at the map. It is gigantic. It's like, what the heck? I didn't know it was that big until I saw a satellite imagery of it. So, I mean, I don't know. We got some friends out over there. Tyrone, he's up in D.C. He's going to be hunkering down. Got his zombie apocalypse, food sources, and all that stuff.
Does he have his basement? Does he have his basement like they did in season 1 of 24? The apocalypse cave?
I don't know. We'll see, I guess. Yeah, but stay safe. If you're on the East Coast, stay safe. Don't be hard-headed and fight the winds, you know?
It's something that we don't really have to deal with here in the West Coast. You know, we just have earthquakes and mudslides, but...
And fires, don't forget.
Fires, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know. What would you rather go through, Kirk? Would you rather go through, like, a huge earthquake or something like this?
Personally, I think earthquakes are a little more manageable than a, you know, hurricane. I don't know. I've never been in a hurricane. I've been in earthquakes, but... To me, they're not that big of a deal unless your house is falling down.
Well, we haven't had a huge earthquake since, 1995? It's been almost 2 decades, so we're
pretty
much
new to
that, right?
Yeah.
Dang. How about you, Spencer?
Well, we've only experienced earthquakes here, so I really wouldn't know how to handle a hurricane.
Yeah. I mean, San Andreas Fault, right outside, basically, of Almani, right?
Or where? It's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Well, the thing with the hurricane is the advantage of that is that you know it's coming.
They got warning. You're right. Right. Oh,
yeah. You can get out of Dodge.
Speaking of which, I heard of this news story. So these scientists or geologists or something in Italy. Did you hear about this? They got sentenced to prison because they couldn't.
Yeah.
Like forecast earthquakes, and the earthquake like killed a lot of people, so they are directly, according to the judge, I guess they are responsible for the deaths of those people.
What exactly do you say? Like my bad or what?
I don't know. That's a difficult situation. Nobody could predict earthquakes. I mean, come on.
It's a natural disaster.
Yeah,
it's
just
natural.
When the earth farts, and that's what happens.
You'd be a rich man if you could predict things like that.
Oh, no, it's earth burping is an earthquake. Earth farting is the volcanoes, right?
Yeah. Volcanoes are much more predictable.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Enough about weather. So next on our list, we have the Almani Gunnam style. And just Gunnam style overall, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, it you know, started in the summer, and then by now everybody and their moms literally have seen it. And oh man, it swept the nation, it swept the world. I've been hearing it on the radios here, you know? That's kind of crazy. What do you think, Spitzer?
Well, yeah, I've seen even people's parents do this dance and make a music video already of it.
Yeah, there's so many parodies.
I've heard it on about 4 or 5 different radio stations, and each station is a different genre of music, and they still play this song.
Yeah, do they play it on Kiss?
They play it on Kiss. I've heard it on K-Rock too.
They do. I think there's a club version as well.
Oh my gosh, that does not surprise me. All right, Chow, so what's going on with the Almani case? The pool, right?
Yeah, I think it was about like a week and a half ago. They had a council meeting with Almani, and it went to review, and apparently it was a 3-2 vote. All those guys and girls, they got their jobs back, so that's good news. I was disappointed that the city would go through those such a harsh reaction, not just like a warning or a reprimand, just straight up, hey, you guys are axed. We don't like what you did. So I'm glad that you know, justice prevailed.
Right.
You know, so it's not really about the money or the job. It's more about the principle.
Yeah.
It's not like they were like doing anything illegal. So and if they had permission from, you know, whoever was in charge there, you know, they should be able to make a fun music video. Didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I guess it's for the public, right? Come on.
I think so. Yeah, they're friends.
All right, next on the list, what we got is Space Shuttle Endeavor exhibit opens October 30th. You guys going?
I actually got a preview today. I volunteer there every Sunday morning, and I was able to bring in Jimmy and Janelle today to check out the exhibit.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
How is it, Spence? Like, how big is it?
Did you touch it?
Height-wise, I think it's about 3 stories tall.
Lengthwise,
yeah, it's about half a football field, maybe.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty big, pretty neat. It's not its final housing. They're going to actually build another exhibit for it. It's going to be next door to it in one of the fields. And it's supposed to be 4 stories tall, but each story, it's going to be about 30 feet high. So from the basement to the highest floor, it's going to be about 150 feet high, the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning on putting the Space Shuttle Endeavor vertically inside the building.
Wow. Okay, like if it was about to launch?
Yes. And I think NASA agreed to build a new one of those, the gas tanks, the rocket tanks,
yeah,
and attach that to the Endeavor when they put it into the new location.
Oh wow, yeah, that'll be a cool attraction.
Yeah, so this Tuesday 10 a.m. is when they open the exhibit to the public.
Okay, where, so everybody knows?
It's the California Science Center, right next to USC, off of Exposition Park.
Right.
And Spence, most important thing, any cost to this?
No, it's free to the public.
Ooh, free. I like that.
Only cost is parking is $10. So,
oh, not bad. So you got a family of 4, it's a couple bucks.
Yeah. And you get to see
the kids chip in.
Yeah, you get to also see the California Science Center and all their exhibits for free too.
Great. Sounds good. Definitely we'll check it out when I get a free weekend.
Yeah.
Did you get to touch it, or I mean, because I want to touch something that was in outer space.
No. Uh-huh. Everything is not allowed for the public to touch. They'll only let you see it.
Dang, they're afraid.
Yeah.
All the cosmic rays would, you know, radiate to you. Oh man! All right, Chow, why don't you take the next topic?
Sure. We got some big trade news in the NBA last night. James Harden of the Oklahoma City Thunder traded to the Houston Rockets for Kevin Martin and 2 first-round draft picks. Huge trade for the NBA, because that would be the, like I said in the last podcast, the number one contender for the Lakers. So Oklahoma, they don't want to spend the cash to max out a marginal all-star in James Harden. They didn't want to pay him, I believe it was about $9 million of a hit through the next 4 years to sign to a max deal. So they shipped him out for, you know, similar talent, but Kevin Martin, he's a solid shooting guard, but he's no James Harden. He doesn't have the playmaking ability or the defense, and he's definitely older than Harden as well. I think he's about 29, so he has about five years on Harden. So in the short term, it definitely makes Oklahoma weaker. In the long term, potentially they could benefit because they'll have extra money, plus they have those draft picks. Spencer, we were talking about this last night. What do you think about the trade?
I think that James Harden's a pretty good player. I was surprised that they would trade him to the Rockets.
Yeah, when I saw this news on ESPN, I was like, this is not right. Like, this has to be fake. Like, and then the more I read about it, I was like, it was official. And I was like, this is unreal. Like, this is the best thing that could happen to the Lakers, because he's someone that they had really had a hard time defending. They don't really have a six-man to match up with Harden. So someone like Kmart, you know, the Lakers have dealt with him in the past, and Kobe definitely eats him up for lunch. So it's going to, you know, I would swap my ranking from Lakers 1 to Oklahoma 2 in the standings.
So how does it make the Rockets look?
The Rockets, well, they just recently signed Jeremy Lin, Linsanity, a month back. So he's their point guard. Harden's a shooting guard. So they have a very dynamic and a young backcourt. So this is going to help them with, you know, selling tickets, getting more games on TV. I'm not sure if that's enough to put them over the top to get to the playoffs, but they're going to be a team that, you know, no one really cared about unless you lived in the Houston area, to a team that's like, hey, Houston's on. I kind of want to check them out.
Contender, you think?
Maybe in the future. They probably need one more piece, like a front court piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in 2 years, you know, they could be a top four seed.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, Chaz's prediction.
Not much of a prediction, but yeah, they look a lot better than they did 2 months ago.
All right, cool. Anything else on that topic?
That's pretty much about it. It's the season starting on Tuesday. I'm probably going to, you know, catch
season or preseason?
Yeah, the real season starting on Tuesday. Lakers are playing the Mavs, so I'll definitely be checking that out. And I'm not sure how much NBA we'll be talking about in future weeks, but if there's like big news, like trades or injuries, you know, we'll bring it up on the podcast.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next segment we got, what is this, Homeland. Okay, we're bringing that back. We're bringing it back.
Good news for all you Homeland fans. It's renewed for season 3. This past episode, I believe episode 4, had the top viewership or the top ratings for the series, the lifetime of the series. So good news for Homeland, good news for Showtime. You're definitely going to see more of, you know, your Brody, your what's her name? Totally forgot her name. The lead character. My so-called life. What's her name?
Let me IMDb this.
Yeah, look it up for me. I don't know why. It totally blanked. Claire Danes.
Oh,
so yeah, all your favorite members from Homeland, they're going to be back for season 3. So if you're one of those type that is worried about shows getting canceled or just not getting a resolution, feel free to jump in, because it's going to be back for a third season, guaranteed.
Nice. I remember I was watching, I really liked the show. It was called Reaper. Do you guys remember that show?
Oh, yeah, I remember watching
it. And it just kind of ended, you know, because they didn't get another season or something.
Yeah, it's sad when the shows are serialized and there's no ending. It's kind of left hanging.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, are you going to watch Spencer?
Homeland? Yeah.
You don't sound enthusiastic.
don't sound like you bought in.
Well, I haven't watched the first two seasons, but
I see.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah, like I said to Kirk last episode, check out the pilot. I think you'll like it, similar to shows like 24 and similar to shows, like, if you ever saw this one show on cable, it was called, what was it called? It was basically similar. It was kind of like a mole show. Damn, what was it called? It was called Sleeper Cell, another show from, like, people from 24,
mm-hmm.
where basically you're going deep, deep undercover, you know, pretending to be terrorists to take down baddies. So it's similar to that vein. If you dig those type of insider CIA shows, you know, I think you'll like it too.
That definitely sounds good. All right, we got Walking Dead season 3 premiere. Is that happened yet, or is that happening?
Yeah, it has already passed. The premiere was on October 14th.
Nice.
Right now is actually they're playing the third episode, literally as we're having this podcast.
Oh no, gotta go watch.
Brutal.
I don't watch any of these shows.
As you can see. Man. You're missing out, Kirk.
Apparently, I am. Everybody that I've talked to, there, you know, because like that's a conversation piece. You know, what TV shows you watch? And this season, I haven't watched anything. I used to watch How I Met Your Mother, Parks and Recreation, Family Guy, Simpsons. You know, all the Sunday night Fox lineup, like, and all of it, even Cleveland shows. So that's how dedicated I was, and. You know, all those, like, Community, all those comedy shows. I never really got into, like, dramas like 24. And that's why I don't know if I'll really dig Homeland. And then Walking Dead, that sounds really cool, actually. That's a show that I wouldn't mind getting into. Because I heard, this is what I've heard about the show. That it's like a zombie show, but it's not really about the zombies, is it? It's interaction between the people and how they deal with this new, you know, this is life now, so.
Yeah, it's more of like a survival world show. It's not really, it doesn't have to be zombies. It could have been like a plague, or it could have been famine. You know,
yeah.
It's more of a survival relationship show. So maybe something, if you ever watched Lost, maybe something similar into the type of vibe that you're getting.
I don't know. It's a
lifestyle or a world, not just like a TV show.
Right.
I think
a major reason why I'm not watching anything right now, it's because since my wife is, you know, gone in Florida doing her school, like, I really don't like watching anything by myself.
Mm.
I don't know. Or maybe I should.
That should be an excuse to watch TV, because you have more free time to know.
I don't know, man. I'm, all my time is going into Minecraft now. I just picked up Minecraft. Spencer.
We'll talk about that maybe later if we have games.
Definitely. All right. This other new show, Arrow. Okay. So this is the Green Arrow series. I guess it spun off, you know, the whole Smallville style, right?
Yes, it is.
And originally, was it supposed to be the guy who played Green Arrow on Smallville?
Justin Hartley.
Uh-huh.
That actor, yeah. The producers, they actually didn't want to cast him. It was more of the fans that really wanted Justin Hartley to be Green Arrow for this new series.
But the producers didn't. I wonder why.
I just read one of the interviews that they had with the producers, and they said they basically wanted to cast a new actor. And if you see the new actor, you can tell that he is better casted for this role. He just had that better facial feature, better muscular build for this type of character.
Oliver Queen, for those that don't know.
Spencer,
yes.
For people that don't follow, you know, this series or this comic, tell us a little bit about Green Arrow. What kind of superhero is he? Or what kind of hero is he?
He is just another... you know, he comes from a history of rich parents.
Yeah,
and,
just like Batman.
Yeah,
kind of
similar. Yeah,
billionaire and, playboy turned vigilante. No superpowers,
yes, exactly.
But extreme marksmanship with an arrow.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, the first episode, it just shows how he became Green Arrow. And he
got
did a
bitten
great
by
role.
A radioactive bow.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
On the island where he was deserted on.
That's right. And then all of a sudden his parents die.
Sounds like a much cooler Hawkeye.
I do like him better than Hawkeye. Well, I'm a DC fan, and I got into Green Arrow because I read a lot of Green Lantern. Green Lantern is my favorite superhero, and Green Lantern Green Arrow duel is big. You know, the crossover. They did a long running series with just them. So actually, the Green Arrow comic I think it was back in the 80s where they really pushed the envelope, where they made Green Arrow's sidekick Speedy become a drug addict. So he was like, I don't know, shooting up heroin or something.
Sounds pretty hard edge for a.
It was.
Comic.
It was. And that whole character, Speedy, like, goes through. Like, he's like the most unfortunate of all the DC characters, I think. Like, he got his arm blown off. He has a kid, and then the kid dies. You know, stuff like that. It's like, holy crap. Dark times in DC Comics. But, wow. Yeah, so Arrow. Are you guys going to watch?
I am already watching.
Oh, it's already out.
Series. Yes, it's already. The second episode has been aired.
Is it worth watching?
I really enjoyed the pilot. Nice. So I think it is well worth investing.
How similar is it to Smallville?
It is more like the later part of Smallville. It's more dark, more action.
No high school stuff?
No.
Oh my gosh.
This is their later years.
Okay, thank goodness. That I could not. I just did not follow Smallville because I was like, what the heck is this? Why is Clark Kent in high school and getting bullied? You know? This is Superman? Really? But, whatever. Alright. Something worth watching, I guess. Chow, are you gonna watch? Are you into this kind of stuff?
I'm not a huge fan, but I definitely liked it from what I saw from Smallville of that character. He seemed pretty interesting, so I'll give the pilot a shot, and next week I'll definitely give my impressions of what I saw.
Very nice. Maybe I'll. Nah, I don't know. I can't make any promises. I just can't bring myself to watch something anymore by myself. Anyway, I'll get a bunch of friends over, I guess. All right. Moving on. Let's move on to, what are we doing? Tech Talk? Already. All right. I guess we are moving through. Very nice. Maybe we could keep this under 30 minutes.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right. So, we got Windows 8 that came out on, what was it, Friday, I believe?
Yeah, this past week.
Windows 8. How many of you guys ordered it? I ordered mine. I'm holding my copy right now, actually.
Ooh. I'm ordering a new system. I have a new system coming to me this week, so I already took advantage of the promotional deal. I just need to pay the $15 to upgrade. So it looks like I'm going to make the plunge as well.
Excellent. How about you, Spencer?
Not yet. I'm still trying to get used to Windows 7.
I'm still getting used to Vista.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it's actually gonna be interesting. I think I'm gonna install it right after the podcast, or maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I didn't want to install it today and then not be able to do this.
Yeah, that might pose a problem.
Yeah, so hopefully it keeps a lot of the. I don't even know if this is a. I have to do a fresh install, or can I just upgrade? I think this is upgradable.
If your system is fairly up to date. It doesn't have a lot of stuff on your system. You could probably upgrade, no problem. But if your system's a little older and there's a lot of junk on there, I would recommend a fresh install.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I heard, though, obviously with Windows 8, it's geared more toward a tablet-like system. And I've heard the criticism that people on desktops won't be able to really take full advantage of, you know, the UI. What do they call it now? It's not Metro UI anymore.
It's called Windows Windows 8 interface or something generic.
Yeah, it's better. They're not calling it Metro anymore, right?
Yeah, they can't because they got sued.
Yeah, they got sued by, a German something company. I don't know the details. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I've been a fan of Microsoft since, Windows 3.1. When, Solitaire going on, you got the Minesweeper. And, I'm looking forward to Windows 8. I gotta say, Jimmy had Windows 8 installed on his system for a while, and I've tested it. It looked really smooth. It's really slick, guys. I mean, you can't deny that it's a beautiful, like Windows 8 phones, or just Windows phones now. They're really slick devices.
Yeah, I would say that it's definitely a drastic improvement in terms of eye candy compared to older operating systems. There's a lot of neat little trinkets from what I've seen in the preview builds. The charm system, a lot of the little, live tiles, where you get notifications on email, messaging, notifications. So that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things I saw is there's an ability that you could basically purge your system. If your system's running slow, it retains all your data on your computer. And it just basically purges all the junk, like all the cache and all the uninstalled apps, all the program files that are on there that you don't use. But it retains all your information. So after a year or 6 months, you're like, man, this computer's running really slow.
Hmm.
Click the button, you don't lose any of your stuff, and you basically got a fresh computer.
So WinRot, anti-WinRot, is this what?
Basically, that's the one huge big complaints of Windows, right? After you use a system for so long, it becomes unusable. You have to either defrag or format your system.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought they did with that in Windows 7, but
yeah, I don't think defrag exists anymore. But the older systems still have it.
Hmm, I see. All right, Spencer, what is it going to take for you to adopt this?
I need to figure out more of the specs, what it offers compared to Windows 7. I still need to use Windows 7 a lot more too,
mm-hmm.
before I can actually figure out if it's actually better for me.
Yeah, well, I'm at an advantage here because I never really use 7 on my primary system. So I'm coming from Vista, so it's kind of a no-brainer upgrade.
Oh.
Yeah, if you're running 7, then it's like, well, why would I want to change? It works.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out. Well, we can't really talk about Windows 8 without talking about the Surface, right? That's going to run Windows 8 and Windows 8 RT. I mean, I think that's where this operating system shines, on that tablet, form. Because, especially with the touch screen laptops coming out, or they're not even laptops anymore, are they? What do they call them? Like convertibles or something?
Yeah, convertible. That's kind of like the new. That's the new Ultrabook that they're trying to sell to you.
Yeah. I'm very interested. And we all know that, if this does well, you think Apple's going to come out with their own version sometime later and revolutionize?
Maybe not yet, because a lot of people just have their iPads with the, a Bluetooth keyboard. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of enough for them for the time being. They can kind of get by with that setup.
Yeah.
So I don't think Apple sees a lot of competition yet. Not until Microsoft and the Surface and the Windows 8 gains a lot of traction. Apple's a reactionary company. They're not going to jump the frog. They're going to, like for example, the iPad Mini that we're going to talk about. Until it's proven, they're not going to be first. So
really, I don't know. I always thought Apple was the innovative.
Not really. They take existing products and make them better. They refine existing products. They don't make new products. An iPad is not a new product. They've been making tablets for years.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have really been good, but same thing for phones. Like, they've been making PDAs and smartphones way before the iPhone. The BlackBerry, the iPad, Palm Trio, a lot of those devices, Windows Mobile, a lot of those devices, that was ruling the arena before Apple came around. So Apple, they don't make anything. They iterate, and then they try to make it, refined from that point forward.
Right. So how about that iPad Mini that came out And I guess the iPad 4, or the fourth generation iPad, that they snuck in there, I guess. But the main headliner is the iPad Mini, I think. Anybody interested? 7-inch form factor, or 7-point-something, right?
Yeah. For me, not yet. I still have an iPad.
You have the iPad 3, or?
Yes, I have the new iPad.
The new iPad. Well, it's not new anymore.
Since the third iteration.
The third.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. iPad Mini, I really wanted one, but not for that price. You know, it came out to be what, like the
329 for the 16 gig model?
Yeah, I was really hoping they would be competitive in that, you know, like the Nexus 7, the Kindle HD Fire.
Yeah, you said Fire like the $200 to $250 range, right?
Yeah, I was really hoping for that, but...
That's definitely an impulse purchase. If they are somehow able to get it down to, like, $279,
mm-hmm.
I think that you really would have no argument if you were a new purchaser of a tablet device. It seems like kind of like a slam dunk, but $329, you're talking about 70 more bucks for an iPad 2. You're talking about $130 more than the Nexus 7, and they're coming out with a new one at 16 gigs and the 32 gigs is going to be $249. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could buy it now because I really wanted one. I really did, but not for that price.
Yeah, so for the cost-conscious consumer,
mm-hmm.
over $300, that's too much. That's, you know.
Why do you think they could charge that much? I mean, because it's Apple? People will still buy.
In Apple's defense, they're making less margins on this device than they are on the iPhone and the iPad.
Oh, is it Retina?
It's not Retina, no.
It's not even Retina.
Not an HD display. It's 768.
Hmm. What I was really impressed with was the iMac. The new iMac. It looks insane, guys. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a very striking design. Super, super thin. Huge screen. So
it's like a giant iPad on a stand. Like, seriously, that thin. Have you seen it, Spencer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, just go to apple.com.
I'm checking it out now.
Hey, Kirk, what's the pricing on the iMac?
I think it was, what, $1,300?
13? That's not too bad. It's not bad for a desktop, you know, for you basically get everything. You get the screen and you get
the
system.
Well, that'd be the 21.5-inch, I believe. But, I mean, if you're going to get one, might as well get the 27-inch, and that starts at about $1,800. I think for $500 more dollars, I would want those extra, like, 6 inches. I don't know. It's very sexy.
So it hasn't even come out yet?
No, not yet. It's very sexy. I'm getting internet problems again. You guys are...
Oh, no. Technical difficulties.
So let's move on. What else we got? MacBook Pro 13-inch. This is the Ooh. Retina. This is the baby one, right?
Something that kind of came out of nowhere. Like most people were not expecting a refresh of the MacBook Pro line, but here we go. We got a Retina display on the smaller portable screen. Looks really sexy. It's definitely a high cost. Here's my one gripe with it, though. It comes with discrete graphics, no dedicated graphics card. So you're looking at $1,700 for the low-end model, the base model, and you're looking at integrated graphics. So you cannot play games, really. You can't play high-end games, and you can't really do any intensive like video editing or Photoshop. So who exactly is this for, Kirk? What kind of a consumer would drop $2,000 for a laptop that doesn't do everything?
I don't know, because it just seems like the 15-inch one is such a good deal, like, in comparison to this, you know?
Yeah, like, if I was in the market for the ultimate device and a do-it-all device that's portable, the 15-inch device, that's the main course
I'd go
right 15, there.
Yeah.
Why would you pay for the appetizer when you could pay a little more for the main course?
Definitely. But they are not affordable laptops in my book, because I'm poor, you know? Like a lot of people from my money.
speaking of a segue, what do you want to talk about, Kirk?
Well, we could talk about the affordable laptop.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, we got the Samsung Chromebook that just came out running the ARM processor. Mm-hmm. So we've seen Chromebooks in the past, and not really convincing, in my opinion. Because the old one was, what, like $500 or something like that for just a browser? So, I don't know. But right now, the Chromebook is going for $250, and you could get it on the Play Store. I think this is worth getting, honestly. If you're like a lot of Americans that just kind of surf the web, and that's all they do on a computer. You know, they don't develop, they don't play that many games, and whatever games they do play, they wind up playing on Facebook or some Zynga game. I don't know, this is that web experience, you know? What do you guys think?
Spence, you want to go?
I'm looking at the specs now. Seems pretty good. 11.6 inches, 2.5 pounds, 6.5 hours of battery life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks something that gets portable, it's light, good battery life, it's cheap. Something that maybe you can give to your kids. Kirk, would you say this is something that you would get serious work done on, or something that you would just kind of take when you go out or if you're traveling?
Oh, no, I wouldn't get serious work done on this. No, by no means. I don't think I can. I was talking to Tyrone about this earlier today where I want to get a Chromebook, but the only thing that is stopping me is that being in the military, we have a military smart card. They call them CAC card readers. You put your ID in, and then you access DoD websites. Well, this isn't going to have that support, at least not yet. And I don't know if it will ever have that support, because it's been out. I mean, this system, this platform has been out for, you know, a while, and there has been no development in the DoD community anyway.
They move pretty slowly in terms of stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, a lot of people just use Internet Explorer. You know, this is the, yes, Department of Defense.
Netscape, right?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but like all our computers at my unit, they're running, like, I think they're still running Windows Vista.
Ooh, hot deal for them.
And all of them default browser, you know, Windows or Internet Explorer. And it's so bad. Oh my gosh! Whenever I go into the office to work on something, it's so slow. I don't understand how anybody can do things in the Army, like tech wise.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah, and all our web pages look like they were developed back in like the year 2000. You know, frames.
Maybe because they were.
They look horrible. I wish we could outsource or something, get like a contract with like Google or somebody to really streamline our system. But that's another rant all entirely. But Samsung Chromebook, digressing. I want to get it, but I don't think it'll work for me. I really want it to work for me, but for what I do on the web, I don't think it's gonna satisfy it. For what a lot of casual computer users do,
cat surfing, getting recipes, watching YouTube, perfect, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, especially for the price.
Yeah, $250, not
bad.
Yeah,
like you get a full keyboard. You know, you'll get real internet.
You don't get a caps lock button though.
No caps lock? Ooh, okay. Harsh. That might be a deal breaker.
Well, who does the caps lock anymore?
I do.
Well, when you're typing in a URL.
When I'm screaming at people on a message board.
My brother.
How else am I going to be noticed, right?
It's funny. My brother was saying. He told me that a lot of people on the internet are calling the caps lock the Billy Mays button.
Billy Mays here.
All right, I think that brings any final thoughts on the Chromebook, guys?
Yeah, Chromebooks definitely. If I was traveling a little more or needed an additional computer for the house, it seems like a good value. $249, you know, gets you a good guest computer or a good spare computer if you need to check stuff real quick. A lot more convenient than than a tablet because you got that keyboard. It's way cheaper than a Surface, which is $500 without the keyboard. iPad Mini is what, $329? So I think Google's going the right direction. Low cost devices that get mass market, and it's sold out, right? It's currently backordered on their.
It is actually. You're right. Yeah, I even called the local Best Buy when I was up in El Monte this weekend. The one in West Covina, and they didn't have it in stock either. Or actually, I think they were saying it was an internet-only deal or something like that. I wanted to go to the store to play with it, but I guess they didn't have it on display.
Okay.
I definitely want to play with it before I pull the trigger. But I don't know where do I go to play with it.
I'm sure when... the retailers get it. They'll definitely be. It'll be in, you know, definitely the front of the electronics section.
All right. Well, we're trying to add a new segment onto our show now, and it's just like a pick of the week kind of thing. And Chao has an app of the week.
Ooh, yes, I do. Okay, so this is a very useful app that I think most people would find very useful. It's called the Keyring app. It's available on the Google Play Store. It's totally free, and it allows you to consolidate all your club cards, all your membership cards into one application. So, for example, on my card right now, I have CVS, Ralph's, REI, Rite Aid, and Staples, Best Buy, also Blockbuster, all on one little app. So whenever you need to go somewhere, hey, do you have your club card? Do you have your phone number? You just open it up. They scan the UPC. There you go, done. So you don't have to worry about holding a bunch of stuff in your wallet. You don't have to be giving out your phone number in the public. It's pretty secure as well. There's no money that's on these cards, so that's kind of good. And it will definitely make your life easier because instead of having to jumble with all the stuff I mentioned, you just have one app, it opens up, it's fast, it's very simple, it's free. So, and also, if the app doesn't support like your particular store, you can manually type in the name and the UPC code. Yeah. So if it's not supported, hey, we have user support.
No problem.
Built-in user support. So definitely a good download for all you Android users.
And here's the thing. It syncs up, I guess, in some sort of cloud where you have an account. So if you have another device, it populates
when you get that new phone, bam, carries over. Just type in your email address, and you're done.
I used this app just the other day. I was out with my dad. We went to CVS, and he wanted to get some vitamins or something, and it's buy one, get one free. And then none of us had our CVS cards on us, but I had my phone with the Keyring app. So then I went up to the cash register, and I was like, oh, check it out. And this is, it's funny because the whole day, I was kind of showing my dad the power of a smartphone. My dad still uses a flip phone, like a Motorola, you know, flip phone or whatever. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, check this out. And then, boom, scanned it in, right? And no problem. And then I try to go one step further. I was like, let me pay for it using my phone, Google Wallet. And then, but here's the thing. It was an epic fail. Or it was an epic. But I put it on the thing. I heard the thing register. It was like, you know, made the sound. And then it just got stuck at the initializing screen.
Oh, no.
Just waiting there for like a good half minute. And then I was like, no, this isn't happening.
Smooth move,
Casanova. I know, so good. My dad ended up paying for it. I was going to be like, oh, don't worry, Dad. I got this. You know, thing.
True.
But it failed me. And I don't know. I don't know if I can ever trust Google Wallet. I still have not today. Till today, or I was going to buy something, I guess, but I still have not experienced a transaction with Google Wallet on a register yet. So something I have to venture out into, experiment by myself, so then I could, if I'm shamed by the electronics, I can just keep it a secret. Keyring app, I love it. It's free.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it in the show notes as well, so if you're lazy, you can just click it, and it'll take you to the Play Store.
Thank you. All right, pick. Oh, wait, Spencer, did you have one?
Just comments on the Keyring app. It sounds pretty cool. It would have helped me while I was in college because, you know, being a college student, I was you know, poor like everybody else. And I joined every rewards membership I could at every store I shopped at. Yeah. And this would have helped so much.
I think so, yeah. I think so. I'm tired of, when I, last time I lost my wallet, I lost like maybe like 5 of those reward cards. It was a big pain to have to get all that stuff and cancel. So having this is a lot better.
Yeah. They got to figure out a way to somehow, you know, have your driver's license on your phone. And then that would be okay, you know?
Just like voting online, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yeah, maybe in the future.
In the near future, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
All right, Spencer, did you have anything you wanted to showcase this week or no?
Not this week. I haven't found anything yet.
Right. Yeah, come back to us in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Hey, Kirk, I heard that you have a new toy that you're looking to maybe purchase. What is that?
Yes, this is my pick, and it is the Lumix GF3. So the Lumix GF line is like the Panasonic Micro Four Thirds SLR camera. They call them mirrorless cameras, so it's they don't have a mirror. They could be a lot more compact. They basically are compact shooters with an interchangeable lens. And the GF3 in particular is super, super slim. So if you're looking for one tier above, I guess, a point and shoot, you'd want to get a Micro Four Thirds camera. And, you know, for the quality of a DSLR, but the size of a point and shoot. A lot of people are saying point and shoots are dead now because the cell phone market has basically eaten up into that. And that's why a lot of people are going over to the Micro Four Thirds market. And this camera, the GF3, paired with the 20mm 1.7 lens, is going to yield very slim shooting experiences with you. So you could just probably slip it into your pocket if you have big pockets. But you can't do that with the DSLR. Good luck trying to fit a Rebel into your pocket. So I wanted to, this is what I like to do. I like to buy something for my wife, you know what I mean? And then secretly play with it. So I might do this maybe next month or actually at the end of November when, Queen comes back from Florida. I was going to buy like a used one. You don't need a new one. You can find it for $200, the body. The lens, I think it's $300-$400. So not bad for, and you know what, a lot of photographers are saying that the Micro Four Thirds cameras are the way of the future, the mirrorless cameras. We'll see. I mean, the chip is definitely smaller, so it's not a full frame lens, obvious, or a full frame sensor. It's actually half the sensor size, so a 20mm is effectively equivalent to a 40mm lens. So something to keep that in mind.
Erica, what kind of a consumer would you recommend this to? Someone that's an aspiring photographer or someone that's a little more experienced?
You definitely don't have to be experienced for this. I don't think so, anyway. I mean, they have all the easy modes, like automatic,
Perfect for someone like me that's a novice.
I think you would enjoy it. I really think, or your girlfriend would really enjoy it, actually. It's a girly camera. I mean, I don't want to throw gender labels on it, but you know, they come in shades of pink, just to kind of give you an idea of the audience it's geared towards.
So definitely a mass market appeal.
Yeah, I wanna try it out, and if I end up getting it, I definitely want to do a review on it.
Give you a quick 90-second review once you get it, and. You know, people can check it out once that review comes in.
Yeah, I don't know if it will really replace not this camera for sure, but the Micro Four Thirds cameras. I don't know if they are gonna replace DSLRs, but it's looking like it because they're getting better and better all the time.
Could be good performance and good price. That's a good combination, right?
And the size. That's what it's all about. A lot of photographers don't like lugging around the huge gear, but I mean, you don't show up to a wedding with one of these cameras, obviously. you know, if you are the wedding photographer.
You could.
You could. Yeah. Image qualities are comparable. They have Micro Four Thirds cameras, I forgot, the Olympus OMD, and it's comparable, but, you know, there's a stigma. If your camera's not big, that means maybe your skill's not that big, you know? Mm. All right. That's about it. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I think we pretty much covered everything, man. All the topics are done with. I know that we have... we're looking forward to getting a viewer mail from our listeners. So definitely, if you have any questions or comments, make sure to send them out to elmontiguyspodcast@gmail.com. Also, we have our Google Plus page. It's in the show notes, so make sure to add us, and we'll be posting the new episodes there and having updates throughout the week as well.
That's right. Yeah, send all your hate mail to us. Help us get better. I know the tech segment went a little long, so I know
a little bit. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Though.
I'm going to hear a lot of hate mail on that.
Well, it's some interesting stuff. We got some Windows. It's pretty much like everybody. Apple, who doesn't like Apple? So, and the apps, you know. So I think even though it went a little long, we got some good information out there. So shouldn't be too many complaints.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyway. All right, well, this has been another segment of the El Monte Guys podcast. And my name is Kirk. I'm joined with Chow and Spencer. How you guys doing?
Holding up. See you guys. Peace out. Right. See you next week.
Yeah, we'll be back in a week.
Maybe. Everyone.
Oh, Tom's thing, right? Next week?
Oh, yeah.
It got bumped.
Tom couldn't make it, so he'll be back next week for his board game talk.
I was hoping to get Danny on this week, but we couldn't see. Get communication.
We'll see we can try for snag. Next week.
We'll see who we can snag, right? Have to bribe them.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been episode 2. See you guys.